listening to Nuts and Bolts, a podcast about gear and music. With some of your favorite artists, I will dive into the practicalities of how they make their work. Twisting those knobs and pushing those buttons.
They sound so good, so I don't think I can live without them. Sound is very important to me.
Her eyes were gray. Her eyes were golden. Her eyes were gray. Her eyes were golden.
Susanna is something of an institution in her homeland, Norway. American songwriter Bonnie Prince Billy just released a full album of covers of Susanna's songs. And her own recent release, Go Dig My Grave, was no less than her 12th album, released on the label that she runs, called Susanna Sonata. Her work is lyrical, gloomy, and has great attention to detail.
I have recorded my voice a lot, and that has been a big part of my process of like learning things and learning how to sing and also learning how to make music and stuff like that.
Many artists today use the accessibility of recording software and gear as a way to establish a room of one's own, a space where they can feel free and relaxed creatively. The lines between writing and recording are blurred. Susanna's double album, Triangle, comes from such a space.
Doom is where my soul rests, the home. A tapestry of lips and tongues, they roar. And when I call for rescue, no one seems to care. Something
originally planned as a studio project, lack of financing caused Triangle to take a different shape.
After a while, I had like a bunch of songs and a lot of material, and I was really eager to start. So I just found out that, okay, I just have to do it, and I have to do it myself. And I brought my gear and started in Los Angeles in a nice room with a nice piano. A lot of the ideas for arrangements and everything developed throughout the process.
The album is recorded in a number of different places, such as Susanna's practice space, her apartment.
Yeah, so a lot of places, a lot of different ways, a lot of location recordings of just sounds also on that album. Recorded with my Zoom.
Zoom is a line of small portable recorders, much used for field recording and other location recordings such as documenting rehearsals or concerts, but also for interviews. I've even used my Zoom as a lightweight sound card on tour. It's the size of a sandwich and it has four inputs. A very versatile machine.
There's not so big budgets these days, so you can't like go into the studio and be there for a couple of months. You have to like be really economic with the time. So then it's really depending on how well prepared you are in advance with the musicians, that you know what you're planning to do, what kind of sound you're going after and stuff like that, for it to be successful, I think. And I really like that way of recording as well, because it's very often based on just the live. In some cases for my recordings, we've all been in the same room.
With one microphone picking up several things at the same time, you can't simply turn the one instrument down a bit in the mix afterwards, or cut out a mistake by one instrument where others were playing at the same time. In other words, how you do or don't separate what you record is an important creative consideration.
You can say there's no room for mistakes, but there is room for mistakes, but you maybe have to accept that you didn't do exactly what you were planning to do, but it's very good even so. For Triangle, I had more like separation, but I also had like, for example, the piano with heavy effects on it, then you can't really separate. There was a lot of choices that I made throughout the process, and I really liked that way of working as well. It was also very frustrating, I must say, because I was more alone with this recording than I have been before. I decided to produce it myself mainly, and also doing all the recordings, at least with myself and some other musicians and stuff like that. There was a lot of choices to make all the time. So I had some periods where I just hit the wall and thought I would never finish this album. But yeah, when time passes and you get to process what you're working with, new solutions and ideas luckily appear.
Susanna's first full-on effects rig came to be in the context of Meshes of Voice, a collaborative work with artist Jenny Wahl, who you know from our first episode. In this project, the artists explored effect usage on the voice in depth. Susanna's setup included a Harmony M pedal from TC Helicon.
Just adds like harmonizing voices, and it has some small effects on it. I could, for example, steer the harmonizing for my voice with MIDI. I had a small MIDI keyboard, and I can play my harmonizing at the same time as I sung through this small Harmony M box. Make my backing singers sing chords.
And she also used a chaos pad
for manipulating the sound and also doing some sampling.
The Chaos Pad is a small processing machine made by Korg, which is recognizable for its colorful LED touchpad, with which you can control several effects at the same time. Susanna's current pedal board that is really impressive. It's clearly put together with a lot of thought and care. With Velcro, the pedals are fastened on a rectangular grid, like guitarists commonly use, fitting exactly into a bag.
There are several boxes that are linked together in a specific chain. So there's first, this digital delay, quite standard box, I would say, Boss.
Considering that the Boss digital delay is one of those very common start-out pedals. It's remarkable how many people have one on their rig as full-grown adults. In fact, I actually want one.
And there's this other weird box called Whetstone, which is more like a phaser that has a little bit of feedback and depth and level. And I prefer the ring modulating style on that.
Sparkly red with white knobs, the Whetstone analog phaser can give you your classic phaser sounds. But also, the many parameters allow you to create plenty of weirder effects.
And there's a small little fuzz box. It has a sort of a very high, like high up in the register fuzz. And it can also be extremely loud, so it's perfect for making some feedback, which is fun. Like I can have just the delay. So I can have that one, and then I can add the phaser.
Then I have all three of them.
She uses the Voco Loco pedal to create two separate effect chains.
And then the signal goes on first to the Eventide pitch factor, and then on to the Eventide space, which are both stereo effects. So the output from the whole pedal board is a stereo signal.
Eventide has been around for 40 years. Their early harmonizer rack mounts are classics, used by Laurie Anderson, David Bowie, and so on. In 2007, they started a pedal line. These are high-quality digital pedals, which can be controlled by an app if you are so inclined.
This pedal power box is really smart.
The tour is concluded with a true gem, if you ask me. A pedal power box by Voodoo Lab. Whether providing different voltages in the same box, or offering 8-9-volt outputs in a box, this allows you to leave all those fragile adapters at home and be left with just one cable to plug in for your entire pedal board. This is going straight on my wish list, I can tell you that much.
If I have a power supply that takes the different kind of voltage required and stuff like that, you can have it like plugged in all the time, and you just plug that one in for the whole board. Mm-hmm. So that's my main goal right now, to just have like one power cord to plug in, and I'm up and running.
I asked her which of the pedals is her favorite.
The Eventide boxes are just super. They have all kinds of effects and reverbs and delays, and they sound so good. So I don't think I can live without them right now. So the other boxes kind of adds this more like strange twisted sounds. And of course, the Eventides can also do that, but they can also have like a plain nice reverb or something like that. For example,
Thank you.
I used it quite a lot in the recording of my latest album, The Triangle. Put it also on the piano, for example. So I ran the sound of the piano through the pedal board and could process the sound that way. And that is such a nice way to work for me because, yeah, I respond very quickly to sound, so I could sort of make other things than I could foresee in advance. Feels like there's endless possibilities in these boxes because there's so many parameters that you can actually adjust for, like the live performances. You try to make a setting that's easy to get to. For me, I guess more in the recording process that I have the time to get more into all the different parameters So I really like to maybe find out what kind of sound do I want or what kind of sound world do I want to explore and how can I get there. And in the process with my newest project, which is called Susanna and the Brotherhood of Our Lady, I use this pedal board, but I also use Ableton and the push controller.
I've meant to get into this. A DAW is a digital audio workstation, which means it's software programs that allow you to work with audio. You have your simple ones, like GarageBand, and your professional ones, like Pro Tools. Now, Ableton Live is a DAW that is particularly geared towards electronic music. It's just very suitable for sampling and sequencing work. Now, with the push controller unit, you can trigger and manipulate your Ableton material in a live setting.
Sounds that I've made in advance, like I've sampled some stuff. There's birds and there's samplings from some old albums, and there's also recordings of a piano that I've processed and made a drone sound. I've fallen in love with Eventide, so I have the plugin package from Eventide as well. So a lot of the things that I have in my boxes here, I also have on my computer. Every bit of new equipment or gear or something brings a new perspective. It opens up a new area.
Usually, to record, Susanna uses Digital Performer by Motu. It's a lesser-known DAW, but also used by her collaborators Helge Steen and Morten Kvenild. All this being said, most distinctive about Susanna's work is probably the high quality of her natural sound.
Hang out here with me a little longer. Hang in there. Stuck in a field. There's no field of gold. I've lost. lost myself on a cool, damp night. Gave myself in that misty light. Was hypnotized by a strange delight.
When I started, it was just like the basic vocal microphone that everybody uses, which is the Shure microphone, the 58. It has evolved from that to microphones that gives a better reflection of the whole like frequencies in the voice. I may have gone like straight from the Shure microphone to the Neumann 105.
The Neumann 105 KMS is in a higher price range than your Shure SM58s, but it delivers a very clean sound image. It's a condenser mic, which means that it needs phantom power to function.
Basically, I've been looking for microphones that sound as close to the way I think I sound, like as natural and transparent as possible. The live microphones today, like I have this DPA microphone now, De Facto 2, which is really nice, and I've also used that a lot for recording actually, because it's so good. I'm not so fond of the compressed sound. Maybe to get a special sound or a special effect, maybe, but it gets so square or like pushed together or pressed together. I really like when the frequencies has a lot of room to like just spread out and be all the material which is there.
In short, compression reduces loud sounds and amplifies soft sounds, so that it creates a more balanced signal. There can be a lot more to it, and people can get really enthused about using compression. That's a can of worms we'll get into some other time.
Of course, there's maybe some things you need in recording or in the mixing or something like reverb and stuff like that to make it, to help it a little bit, to have the sounds, the instruments come together with the voice and stuff like that, and or to presented in the same room, so to speak.
In live sound, I think you're very involved in how your voice is mixed. Do you do the same for records?
I do that. Maybe not super like technical. I wouldn't maybe go into details, because the ones who've been mixing my music has a lot of knowledge about their equipment, so it's more like trying to find a language and a common understanding of what we're trying to achieve. But of course, it's I feel a strong ownership to my voice and the sound of my voice, so that's extremely important.
We are lost, wandering the tunnels of our body, city of the island of our heart. We are lost in a blood system, swallowed by a black lake, drowning in the black lake. Black milk, black lake of the heart. In the need of a singer, in the need of a sound, in the need of a fire, in the need of a run, in the need of a theater.
Thanks for listening to Nuts and Bolts. This episode was edited and mixed by yours truly, Jessica Slichter. Thanks to our guest, Susanna. Thanks to co-producers Anne-Gert Grimsbu-Hoor and Susanna Christensen. Thanks to the Norwegian Arts Council for supporting the first season. Please support Nuts and Bolts Season 2 on Patreon. That's Patreon. Check it out online. Have a great summer. We'll be back in the fall with interviews with more great artists. Takk for nå.